Funeral directors help people through what are often the lowest moments of their lives. However, for some pretty obvious reasons, it is not a common career path. Stateside's Work in Progress series features conversations between someone just starting out in a career and someone reaching the end of their professional life. Today, we introduce you to two funeral directors, one a recent graduate, the other semi-retired.
Hi, my name's Thomas Lynch. I'm a funeral director, partially retired. For the past 50 years, I've owned and operated part of our family enterprise of Lynch & Sons Funeral Directors. And for the same 50 years, I've been a reader and a writer, but I'm still a full-time writer, or at least a full-time typer.
Hello, my name is Tyler Bernstein. I'm a recent graduate of the Wayne State University's Mortuary Science Program and currently working at Sawyer Fuller Funeral Home, which is my great-grandfather Ed Sawyer's funeral home and my grandfather Bill Fuller's funeral home.
Tyler, tell me, how did you first get interested in funeral service? How did you know this was something you wanted to do?
So I was going to school for engineering, and it just wasn't the right fit for me. I looked at what I wanted in the rest of my life, and I wanted something where I'd be improving upon people's lives in a personal matter, making connections with people. And so I figured I have that opportunity through the family. So I settled down out here and started working at the funeral home and found it was the fit I was looking for. It gave me that connection, that ability to help people, and just finished up school. And I'm getting more and more drawn into the profession every day.
What really seduced me was not the science, but it was like after working the door at night when we were closing up, some widowed person would come up and take me by the shoulders and say, "I couldn't have done this without you." And I was like 16 or 17, and I thought, I'm ignorant but necessary. And I felt very, very useful and very needed. And that's seductive to a young person. So,
along those lines, while we do have the emotional reward, I've been warned many a time about the burnout that a funeral director can experience in their career. Do you have any advice about how to avoid getting emotionally taxed to the point where it becomes too much?
It does take a toll because you are playing for keeps, more or less. You know, you do these things once. You don't get a warm-up or a rehearsal. So I have found that it's better to be fully engaged with the family, not try to treat every family like, oh, this is just another death, but to truly get to know what's going on, to know not only the life that is being honored, but the lives that have been forever changed by a death in the family. So really, I have found after a half a century doing this that it is by getting the dead where they need to go that the living get where they need to be. And what I find where the burnout comes from now is so much of our current fashions short-circuit that. When my son, when they call him and say, just dispose of the body for us, he feels like he's the only one at the funeral, because the funeral truly is the thing that takes place at the edge of a grave or at the door of the crematory. That's when the dead are getting where they need to go. That's when the community of humans need to be around. So
that's one thing I've noticed with talking about a lot, the current trend of cremation on the rise is the normalization of it that needs to happen.
Yes.
Because when you suggest taking a family and witnessing a burial, they take that as normal. Of course, yeah, we'd love to see the actual burial. We want to see the person laid in their grave. Mm-hmm. But when you recommend them witnessing a cremation, there still seems to be a taboo about it.
Mm-hmm.
And it's not on the same level, which is a shame because it is still taking the body where it needs to be.
And exactly.
That final disposition. So I think that's something that we as funeral directors might need to help the families embrace, that you need to be there for that final moment of closure. You need to see this to the end.
We were talking about burnout. What are the things that you see in funeral service that are inconsistent with your own sense of the way things should be?
Just having gone through school, we're kind of taught the textbook way of everything,
mm-hmm.
and how this is how each religion does every service.
Mm-hmm.
So more and more nowadays, we're seeing families wanting to do their own touch and
mm-hmm.
shift from traditional to personal.
Mm-hmm.
And I think that's wonderful, but it also makes it much more difficult on the funeral director.
Mm-hmm.
Because back in the day, there was the whole, okay, we're going to this church. This is exactly how it's going to be done. Mm-hmm. And you just knew what your day was going to look like.
Mm-hmm.
But
yeah,
now,
the wheel was already invented with, if you were a lapsed Catholic or a observant Jew or whatever it happened to be, you knew what the rules were because your crowd did it this way. And you're exactly right. Religion, as it's become less and less an influence in everyday life, people are left trying to reinvent a wheel that really has been invented by our humanity, not so much our religiosity. What I find is that so much of what funeral service does is sort of awkward because it puts a retail event in the place of a deeply human event.
I've noticed there's almost a fine line between emboldening and directing versus being pushy and going, no, this is how it's supposed to be done.
Yeah.
You have to dance that line because the families are so vulnerable and so many of them have never been in this situation before and look at you as the expert, which we are.
Mm-hmm.
And so we have to be careful to make sure that our own personal views don't override what they're comfortable with.
Exactly right.
Because you want them to walk away with the right start on the path of grieving.
Yeah.
And it's tricky because each family has so much personal history and so much of their own expectation of what they think a funeral should be and what they need a funeral to be for them to actually heal doesn't always line up. And like you said, they really do open up. They will reveal so much about themselves to you in that short little 2-hour arrangement conference that it can be overwhelming. And trying to decipher what is the best course of action for this family and then getting them to see that the same way you do, it requires finesse and an open heart, it seems.
You're so right. My father, Ed Lynch, knew your great-grandfather, Eddie Sawyer. They had funeral homes maybe a mile and a half apart. They went to the same churches and they had lunch at the same Coney Island, I think, many times because I had met your great-grandfather over the years. And my dad used to say, Tom, there's a reason you're given 2 ears and 1 mouth. Be sure to listen. Ask a question that can't be answered with yes or no, and let them tell you the story of what happened. They'll give you the entire narrative of the life that's just been lived, the life that's now over, and the path they see before them. And you're so right. You got to meet them where they are, not where you want them to be. I think you're going to find lots of meaning. I know it's defined my life. What about yourself? Is there something that you can anticipate that you would like to change about funeral service?
Well, something that I fear is the schedule.
Mm-hmm.
There's no really off day for the funeral world.
Mm-hmm.
Death waits for no one. So it's just something I've been warned about is you are always going to have a funeral on the most inconvenient time.
My father and mother had 9 children. And somehow he was present for all the important things. It has taught me the meaning of life. I mean, I have a son, for example, who worked with us for 15 years and then chose to follow his own interest in music. But he came away from those 15 years grateful that he really knew how it worked. Love and grief and sorrow and the return to wholeness that he'd see in families that he had served over the years. So it does press your consciousness against life in a way that few other professions do.
It rings very true. The one gift I've received from my days so far, and it's just been about 3 years, is the gift of perspective. Every day you go into the funeral home in a much better mood than the other people visiting the funeral home.
Yeah.
And you realize even on your worst day, most likely doesn't come close to their day at that time.
Yeah.
So you walk away knowing that even those little minor agitations in life that seem to be the worst thing at the time in the bigger picture, you're doing okay still. And that gift to also appreciate the things that really matter. You sit there and listen to eulogies day in and day out and hear what people take away from someone's entire life. That allows you to actually kind of have a little view of what really can matter to people.
So where do you see yourself when you're my age?
So my current path is going to take me to be the owner of Sawyer Fuller Funeral Home.
Mm-hmm.
So I just want to be somewhere where I've gained enough wisdom and experience and security in my life that the people that surround me and they'll be there for me at 2 a.m. when I eventually have kicked the bucket, that they're there because I've given them something. And I want to give them everything I can.
Well, I will give you a blank book with the instructions to fill it. And one of the things that has really helped me is the list of things I couldn't understand or didn't know the answer to got longer and longer and longer, continues to lengthen. And the things I was certain of, which seemed so vast when I was 20-something, seem so tiny now. Just live a day at a time, Tyler. You'll be a great funeral director and a great source of usefulness to your community. People will hand you their trust. They'll pay you the going wage, and they'll thank you when it's over. I'm sure you'll do well.
Thank you. Thank you.